This podcast is brought to you by Rock My Wedding, the UK's most influential wedding brand. Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Rock My Wedding, the podcast. We hope everybody's okay. Becky and Charlotte with you again. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi.
All right.
Good.
Ready for episode 3?
Ready.
Should we just get into it?
Yep.
If you've not listened to episode 2, which was about the guest list, it's a good idea probably to go back and have a little sneaky listen to it, because episode 3 is kind of loosely related to it. We're going to be talking about seating plans.
Yes. Where does everyone sit at your wedding breakfast? It was really important for me to include this in the my wedding book, Your Day Away, because I know that we struggled with it. Even though we only had 60 guests, it was still quite a mission to try and work out, oh, where's this person, then change it and then swap it again and all the rest of it. So I know that it's a bit of a challenge for most brides and grooms.
Yeah, figure out where everyone's going to go.
Yeah.
I think we've got to kick this off by talking about the RSVPs, because you can't do your table plan till you've had every single RSVP back.
Until you know exactly who's coming.
Yeah. And what a pain in the backside it can be to get people to RSVP.
Yeah.
You give them all that time to come back to you, and still, people will fail to reply. So how do we get people to reply who haven't replied? What's the etiquette? I, for my wedding, just made a simple phone call.
Yeah, or drop them a text.
Yeah.
If you can be as informal as that. If you've got a WhatsApp group, I think now, yeah, just say hi. We've sent you an invite. Can you let us know? Because we need to, you know, we need to know numbers, because we need to plan our wedding.
Yeah.
It's quite a big deal.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So once you've got your RSVPs, it's helpful to have them somewhere handy, an Excel document or something like that. How did you store your, that's what we
did. Yeah, same, spreadsheet.
Yeah.
So we knew exactly who's going. And then in terms of how you're going to organise your seating plan, the big question is, what kind of tables do you have?
So one of the first questions to ask your venue, what sort of tables have they got?
Yeah.
Are they round? Are they trestle?
Exactly. And some of them might give you the option, so you can have either.
Yes.
Or if your venue allows you to, you can potentially outsource your furniture, because you might want entirely different. So you could have a mixture of trestles and round tables and a mixture of benches and chairs and make it all mismatched. But obviously you need to work that out. How many tables, how many people are seated at each table.
Yeah.
So then you can really start to say, okay, I've got 8 round tables, each seats between 8 and 10 people. And that's how, that's what I'm going to start with. Yeah. And we actually went massively old school and and just had like a really rubbish drawing on a piece of paper.
Was it one of your special pencil drawings?
It was one of my special pencil drawings of like just, 8 circles. Some blobs, and then we had some post-it notes with people's names on, and then just sort of moved them around until we got what we thought was a really good compromise.
Did you change it a lot, or did you
not really. I think we probably had the same sort of sticking points that most people have, which is where you've got that friend that doesn't really know anyone else except you and the groom. You've got friends that are single. You've got divorced parents, and obviously I know we need to go into all of this in a bit more detail, but all of those circumstances kind of made us have to move things around a little bit here and there, but we were happy with the end result.
Good. There's we did it old school as well, because I don't really think there was any other way of doing it back when we got married, but there are a few digital resources now that you can use to help you with set your seating plan out. A few that I've seen that I think are pretty good, I've had a play around with, are tabler.com. That's table with 3 R's at the end of it.com. There's toptableplanner.com, and the other one I liked was planningpod.com. So some of these as well, you can, so if you've got an Excel document like you had set up for yours, you can import that into them, so it keeps all the names exactly the same and all of that sort of stuff. And you can give them like a little female or male icon and colour code things and stuff. So it makes it dead easy to see people where they, with their like respective friends and things like that, because they've all got the same colour code. So I thought that's quite handy.
Yeah, that sounds good.
You had round tables, didn't you?
We had round tables, we did. And James's parents were divorced and both had remarried. So a head table, a traditional head table, wouldn't have worked for us. Mm-hmm. Just to outline what the traditional head table consists of. Fire away, Becky.
So if you've got, if you're sticking to tradition, it would be, I'm talking, if you're looking at the top table now, from left to right is groom's dad, bride's mum, then the groom, and then the bride. And then next to the bride is her dad, then the groom's mum. And then if you want to add best man or maid of honour there as well, which you can do, they go either end. So your maid of honour would be next to the groom's dad and the best man would be next to the groom's mum on the other end. And we had, actually ours was very traditional. We didn't have we did have best man on our top table actually. Maid of honour, well, I think she was getting drunk on another table somewhere. But ours was very traditional in that both our parents are still together. So it was easy for us just to, you know, go down that route.
Yeah. Well, we decided rather than try and make it unfair, because my parents are still together, but James's weren't, mm-hmm. is to actually have no parents on the top table.
Yeah.
So
that's such a good idea.
We had, so it was James and I, there was my sister who was a bridesmaid, my sister's partner, my husband's best man and my husband's sister who was also a bridesmaid, so six of us, so that was nice.
Yeah.
And then James's parents with their new partners were on obviously different tables to each other. And then my parents were on a different table again, but sort of at the front, so nearest to the head table.
Yeah.
And then we had the rest of our sort of like wedding party, if you like, on another table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our table setup was, we had our top table ran across the top, and then we had three trestle tables coming out of it almost. A bit like a fork.
Yeah.
That's such an attractive way to paint the my picture of my wedding. And we sort of had, so our traditional top table, and then we sort of seated sort of a bridal party on one table, and then it was kind of a bit of a mix of families across the other two. It was really, really nice how it sort of worked out.
Like a big party.
It was like a big party. And I know we've talked about before how the type of wedding you have can dictate your table styles and the layout.
And the type of meal that serving.
Yeah, because our meals were different to each other. So you had sit down,
three course.
Service.
Yeah.
All of that. Whereas mine was more of a sharing occasion. I don't know how to really describe it, but the food's put down, everyone picks up a plate and passes it over to somebody else to take a bit of whatever it was.
That we and a big trestle works.
Yeah.
Ideally for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Wow, we need to mention benches.
Yeah.
Because trestles traditionally have benches, and we've heard this. And it's just something to consider, because don't get me wrong, they look great. But they can be quite awkward to get in and out of, because if you imagine you've got like a whole line of, I don't know, seven or eight bums sat down on a bench, and you need to go to the loo.
Cock your leg over.
and you might be flashing your bits at...
Uncle Paul. Poor Uncle Paul.
I know. So just something to be
aware of.
Yeah.
I can imagine you could go to, you know, have a gorgeous rustic venue, say, and they've got trestle tables and they've got the benches, but actually your nan can't get in and out of a bench.
No.
It's definitely something to think
about. Yeah, it is. And in that case, you might want to consider having a little bit of a mix-up of some chairs and benches.
And I'm sure venues can be flexible with that sort of stuff, can't they?
And they must have had that request before.
Yeah, surely. Because, you've got to accommodate your nan.
Got to.
We ran another poll on Instagram. If you've been listening to the podcast first couple of episodes, you'll know how much we love a poll. And it turns out that 46% of you are having a traditional table, which leaves 54% not. And in response to the poll, one reader asked, how do I put together a top table where both my parents and his parents are divorced and remarried and aren't civil to their original partners? It goes back to your wedding, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, so you can go the route that I did, which is no parents on the top table at all. And then all of the different couples are on their own separate tables, so that keeps it more civil.
Yeah.
But the option that's actually my favourite is what's called a sweetheart table. So,
okay, so
the couple have their own, just them two on a table at the top of the room, which means that you get that sort of time, just the two of you. Because a wedding, you know,
it's quite romantic, isn't it? Yeah.
So it's really romantic and you get to survey all of your loved ones in the same room together, which is never going to happen again.
Yeah.
And actually, looking back, I think that would have been a really nice option for James and I.
Yeah.
So I definitely advise couples in a similar situation to consider that option.
Definitely. Yeah. And that's it then, isn't it? Everyone else can just sit on their own designated tables with the people they know. And
Yeah,
I do love the idea of that.
And talking about sitting on the tables with the people that they know, that's another consideration, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's what do you do with all these different types of friends, so that you feel that no one's going to be sort of be sat not knowing anyone, not talking to anyone, not feeling uncomfortable. But then again, like I'd say, don't make that a priority to worry about that situation.
Mm-hmm.
James and I went to a wedding once, and we didn't know anyone apart from each other.
Oh, God.
And we were sat on a table, not a clue. Turned out that no one else knew each other either. But what we did have in common was, of course, our relationship with the bride and groom.
Yeah.
Because that's why
there was
all there.
Always something to talk
There's
about.
There's always something in common, which was the bride and groom.
Yeah.
And, you know, had a glass of wine, all got chatting, introduced to each other, and it was one of the most enjoyable, hilarious weddings I've ever been to.
Oh, that's so good.
Because we just met all these new people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's an amazing occasion. And I do think that there's too much pressure on people worrying about everyone else having a good time.
Mm.
And I would say if you're inviting the right people, like your friends and your family who you know want to be there, then everyone should have a good time.
Yeah.
Regardless of where they're sat.
Yeah.
But obviously, as a couple, you do everything you can to accommodate everybody in the best way that you can.
Yeah. I think you know your friends, don't you? And
know. It's always good to sit everybody with at least one other person that they know.
Yeah.
Whether that's their respective partner or mutual friends or something like that, because then there is at least that one person on your table or next to you that you know.
Yeah, definitely.
In terms of the seating plan itself, there are what I would say are three main options. So number one being that you have a traditional table plan, so the exact map of your room and your tables is drawn out, and everybody has a very specific seat,
mm-hmm.
and that's where you want them to sit.
Mm-hmm.
They go to where they believe their table is, and on their seat place setting is their name. So it's all very straightforward.
Yes.
The second option would be to have escort cards, which is more popular in America, I'd say, but you do see more people in the UK taking that option.
It's nice. It's quite interactive, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a nice piece of decor as well, I think.
Mm.
So what you would do is go and collect your card, which would have your name on it and would have a table number. But more often than that, this just means that you actually go and sit at that table. You don't have a specific seat.
Just pick a chair.
So you're one of 10, but you can sort of mix it up and decide.
And I can really see why this style of seating plan is becoming more and more popular, because for example, if you're having your seating plan designed by a wedding stationer, you need to have given them your seating plan by a certain deadline for them to be able to get it printed, get it to you in plenty of time. You know, couriers can mess things up, so you need to have it a good week before or so.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it last minute. It's not something that can be changed. You know, Uncle Barry phones you 2 days before and he's like, I'm really sorry, I can't come. Well, then he's messed up your whole seating plan that you've just paid, you know, however much you've paid for. Mm-hmm. This way, it's completely adaptable.
Yeah.
So you can print off all the cards of everyone you think's coming. If Uncle Barry's not coming in the end, well,
it
matters because you care that he's not there, but actually in terms of you feeling stressed about your seating plan, it doesn't matter because it doesn't make any difference. It's just an empty chair.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, you think, oh, you've messed that up, no one knows where they're sitting now and who's going to sit on that chair and we're going to take this away and do that, when actually
you just remove the card.
And you can have spare blank ones if someone comes in last minute or whatever it might be. It's just a much more flexible way of having your seating plan, isn't it?
And the third option is, of course, sit where you like.
Yeah.
Having anyone sit anywhere works quite well if you're having a sort of a buffet-style wedding breakfast.
Yeah, less formal.
So it's a night you can help yourself to the food.
Interestingly, Lauren, who She works with us at Rock My Wedding, and she's also the editor of Rock My Style. If you've not seen Rock My Style yet, pop on over and have a look. Rockmystyle.co.uk. But she did that, didn't she? She had more of an informal evening buffet type thing, and everyone just sat where they wanted to.
Yeah.
But also, interestingly, from Lauren's point of view, her seating plan was made for the ceremony rather than the actual reception.
Yes, because her husband had divorced parents.
That's right. And she said, this is a quote from Lauren, she said, "My husband's parents are divorced, and I have to say, even before we got engaged, I was a bit nervous about the prospect of them being in the same room. We arranged a seating plan for the ceremony for our immediate family so they could be in the action but not next to each other, and shared as much as we could with them both beforehand so they didn't feel left out of any of the planning. Like the vast majority of people who worry about a divorced parent being an issue, they were impeccably behaved, thoroughly enjoyed the day, and there were so many people for them to meet and greet that it wasn't a problem at all. There was absolutely no need for us to worry about it."
A ceremony seating plan is a really interesting one, because I don't see that very often at all. And it's traditional, as we know, tradition is where brides, friends and family sit one side, grooms, friends and family sit one side, which I find a bit odd because so many couples have mutual friends anyway. So it's like, what do you do?
Where'd you go? Oh, I like Becky a bit more today.
And what we saw, I think, 2017, massive. Lots of weddings had a sign before we went into the ceremony saying, pick a seat, not a side.
Yeah.
Which I think is great.
Which is so lovely, isn't it? You know, if you're able to
enjoy the ceremony, you're there to see the same vowels as everybody else. Sit where you want.
Yeah, I like that idea. But a great way of sort of combating the fear of divorced parents potentially.
And of course you can sort of have the first few rows of the ceremony perhaps reserved for certain members of the bridal party that you want to sit in specific places.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is a compromise rather than having an entire ceremony plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we've briefly touched on guests who might not necessarily know that many other people. What about the big question mark over your single friends?
Oh, the singles. Do you sit them all together?
This is it. Like trying to do some kind of matchmaking.
Yeah.
No.
I think awkward.
Yeah, you could run into awkwardness there.
Yeah.
Again, it's same rules apply. Sit them, try and make it so that there's at least someone on their table they know.
Yeah, if you can.
Whether that's another single person or whether it's a couple or whether it's your nan.
Yeah. Yes.
It doesn't...
I mean, nans will talk to anyone, won't they? It's like Alice says. Alice works for us at Rock My Wedding. She's in charge of marketing and PR. And she's getting married very, very soon and currently doing her seating plan. And she said to us, it's not a networking event. Just let people relax and enjoy themselves. Which...
Exactly. Don't
worry about it too much.
No.
You know your pockets of friends, you know who knows who, you know who can chat to anybody.
Yeah.
Just be chilled with it. We've covered off where to sit people who don't know anybody else. We've covered off where to sit your single mates. And what about if you've invited children? Where do they go? I think they either go next to their parents or they have their own nice little specific area.
Yeah, I think the weddings that I've been to that have had children, that's been the
option. I recall going to a wedding once and the children were sat at the table eating, and it was really lovely to have them all there amidst everybody. But literally as soon as they'd finished eating, there was a little designated area sort of towards the foyer where there was loads of stuff for them to do. Like little board games were set up. And I think there was a Wii there as well, a Nintendo Wii. So it was really nice. You could eat your dinner, and then once your children were fed up, essentially, they could go and play in their own
play
little
and
area.
Interact with each other.
Yeah.
That's a good compromise. And if you do have a children's table, it's also nice to have like activities for them to do on the table. It doesn't have to be expensive.
Yeah.
Like a little pack of colouring crayons,
stickers.
Books, stickers. Obviously, depending on the age of the children.
Yeah.
But yeah, because you know they might finish their dinner quicker or...
They do, don't they? And they get so bored sitting down,
don't they? Yeah, it's a long day.
Yeah.
It's a long day, especially for younger kids.
Yeah, and you can definitely tailor those little activities to the age of the children that are going, can't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happens if somebody turns up who has been invited to the evening reception, but not the whole day, and just, you know, and rocks up at the ceremony, follows along.
Got carried away with themselves.
Got carried away with themselves.
Which, on the coach.
Yeah, which I suppose is... could be a potential issue if you have day and evening guests,
yeah, that's
and they don't,
true.
They misinterpret the invite, or they just don't read it properly, which happens.
It's true. Do you know, the only thing I can think to say in that instance is, don't worry about it. And I'm sure venues have contingencies for these, yes, sorts of things. It must happen more than we think, surely.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, what you would do is, whoever is your delegate person, so whether that's your usher or one of your bridesmaids, or
yeah,
if you've got a wedding planner, is to get them to speak to the venue. Just, yeah, like, this has happened. Yeah. Mike's rocked up.
He's not meant to be here.
He's not meant
to
be here.
I know he's going to have a chicken dinner that we haven't paid for.
Yeah, exactly. And the venue must have some kind of contingency where they can.
Yeah. And then you sort that out at the end of the day. It's not, yeah, it's not worth, yeah, thinking
and,
about.
And add them to it. But like we were saying, with this whole thing, like, it's your wedding day. It's about the two of you getting married, and whether Michael does or does not expect, you know, to have his chicken and chips.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
It will be.
It'll be sorted.
It will. You can only do so much with your seating plan, can't you? Because,
yeah,
like we've said, someone might turn up, someone might be sick the day before, the morning of, and not be able to turn up. So,
yeah,
you've got to go, just go with the flow on the day, and everything will turn out to be fine.
The last thing I really wanted to mention is about the table plan designs themselves, because actually they're such an integral part of your decor. Main reason being is they're one of the only pieces of decor that you can guarantee that your guests are definitely going to look at.
You're right, everybody has to go and find out where their name
Everyone is. Everyone has, yep, to go and have a look at the table plan to see where they want to sit. We're finding more and more that couples are choosing to make their table plan a real focal point of the day. So we're seeing quite sort of extravagant installations with lights and garlands, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. Of course, you don't quite have to go to that degree. But some of the key trends we're seeing at the moment are acrylic. Yeah. So engraving in acrylic or perspex, which looks amazing. We actually did a project with Hobbycraft, which was for a family tree.
Yes, yes, with the embroidery hoops.
Embroidery, yes, hoops. So it was designed with the photographs inside the embroidery hoops, with all flowers and everything hanging from a tree, which you could easily exchange the photograph idea for table numbers, yeah, or names, whatever,
oh, that
you
would
decide,
be so good,
from the embroidery hoops. Mix it in with some flowers, and it makes like a really, really great display piece.
And a really nice DIY thing to do for your wedding, isn't it?
Yes.
Really simple and straightforward.
Absolutely. And on, of course, we've mentioned escort cards as well. What we're seeing is that people are sort of using the idea, but not necessarily using a card. So we've seen examples of glass of champagne. So you've got literally, say, like a cabinet of champagne glasses, and each champagne glass has got that person's name on, so Becky.
Oh, table number six.
Table number six. And so then you get your glass of champagne and a lovely piece of decor.
Oh, and off to table six
and
again.
And off to table six you go.
And of course, we've got a Pinterest board dedicated to table plan ideas, haven't we, as well? So you,
yeah,
can check that out.
So check out Rock My Wedding on Pinterest and have a look at that. And we've also got a piece on the blog, which is top 10 wedding table plan ideas 2018, and on there you obviously see our top 10 ideas for wedding table plans.
And also, if you are struggling with a concept for your table plan, ask your stationer, because they'll have loads of ideas,
exactly,
won't they?
And, yeah,
you can visit rockmywedding.co.uk/the list to find one of our recommended stationers who will 100% help you have the perfect table plan.
Absolutely.
Yes. As with all the podcasts, we'll have a summary of everything we've discussed today over on the show notes, which you can find on your podcast app or at rockmywedding.co.uk/podcast. Thanks for listening, and remember to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts from so that you're notified when the next episode's released. And please give us a review or a rating if you enjoyed listening today. It just helps more brides and grooms to find us, so we would really appreciate that. And remember, if there is anything you want us to talk about, any guests you want us to interview, anything you want to ask us, you want us to answer on the podcast, just drop us an email to podcast@rockmywedding.co.uk, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
podcast is brought to you by Rock My Wedding, the UK's most influential wedding brand. For more content, visit rockmywedding.co.uk, follow us on Instagram at rockmywedding, or buy the book Your Day Your Way from Amazon or any leading book retailer. This podcast is produced by We Are The Clarks.